fortune to be in this holy land of Kurukshetra. Where so much of the history of our life and our culture has its origin. From time immemorial, this holy place of Kurukshetra has been worshipped by saintly persons. It is the place where the great Maharaj Kuru performed his yajna. The place where many of the Lord's incarnations performed their divine lila. The place of the great battle of Mahabharata, in where Sri Bhagavad Gita was spoken. The place where Krishna met the residents of Vrindavan after many long years of separation from each other. Also in Gaudiya Sampradaya, we understand that Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to worship this holy place, as did all of the Acharyas, Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vallabhacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami. Historically, they all came to this and worshiped this holy land of Kurukshetra. The Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken at Jyotisar, is the scripture more than any other scripture in human society that gives light and knowledge to all classes of men and women without discrimination. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Sri Krishna to Arjuna as a means of providing the opportunity by which everyone can perfect their lives in Sanatana Dharma. Bhagavad Gita is a scripture which is meant to be received in the same spirit that Arjuna himself received it. Arjuna accepted Krishna as Bhagwan, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Itam Uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam Dharmam Shushukam Taratam. And he had already given up his own opinions of what is truth, and submissively accepted Krishna as the authority of real knowledge in his life. Karapanyo doso pahata svabhava prichchami dvam dharma samudaja. This is the spirit in which Bhagavad Gita is meant to be heard. In a mood of submission, that I do not know, but God knows. And Krishna is that supreme God, the absolute truth. Matta paratanam nanyat kinchadasti dananjayat. The supreme truth, who has come to this world by his divine mercy to reestablish the real principles of religion. Krishna explains in Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That he comes to deliver the devotee, the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the true principles of religion. Of course, we can understand that Krishna is performing this merciful mission on many levels. In his life, he killed so many of the great asuras, like Kamsa, Shishupal, Dantavakra, and so forth. He protected his devotees, like the Brijvasis, like the Pandavas. But also, he is performing the same service on an individual level to each individual soul who accepts him and his teachings. Through the Vani, or the words of Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac qualities within us are destroyed. Lust, kama, anger, krodha, envy, matsara, greed, lobha, pride, illusion, moha, all of these demons are living within our own hearts. And Krishna came to speak the Gita, and one who hears and follows these teachings, these demons within our own hearts are destroyed. And every spirit soul, every atma, is by nature a devotee of Krishna. Jivera swarupoi krishnara nitya das mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtan indriyani prakriti stani karashati. The atma within the heart of every living being is by nature Krishna's servant, Krishna's devotee. But now, due to the influence of material energy, it is being defeated, the soul's natural original qualities are being defeated by demoniac influences within us and without us. But by this knowledge of the Gita, Krishna explains, it destroys all darkness and lets the real light of the soul shine. So in this way, Bhagavad Gita, which is the sound incarnation of Sri Krishna, is protecting the soul and annihilating the ignorance of demons around the soul and reestablishing the real principles of religion. The eternal, only eternal, true principle of religion is the loving service of the Lord. This is the sum and substance and the essence of the Gita. Bahunam janmanamante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurla. That after many births and deaths, bahunam janmanamante jnanavam mambhapadyate, when one comes to real knowledge, one surrenders to Vasudeva. That is the definition of a real Mahatma. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yastra smatatvat sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvapapevyo mokshai shamimasuja. To surrender to Krishna with love is the eternal dharma of everyone. There are many dharmas, there are many duties, but there is only one sanatana dharma, and that is to surrender to Krishna with love and with devotion. This is the conclusion of the Gita. So, this great gift, which has been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead here in Kurukshetra, was delivered not only to Arjuna, but to the whole world. our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada would explain that actually Arjuna had no need to hear the Gita, because he was already an intimate associate of Sri Krishna. He was already a liberated soul in every respect. But by Krishna's divine arrangement, he covered Arjuna by the power of Yoga Maya just to put him in illusion, so that he can speak to all of us through Arjuna. There is a saying, Bengali saying, that if the mother-in-law wants to teach the daughter-in-law, she does by teaching the daughter. Because the daughter-in-law is kind of a stranger in the house, and she will feel uncomfortable if the mother-in-law directly tells her, do like this, do like this, do like this. But if she instructs the daughter can accept any instruction. And when the daughter-in-law hears the instructions coming to the daughter, she learns everything through the daughter's instructions. So similarly, when Krishna wants to instruct the world, he instructs the world through instructing his devotee. Vedavyas compiled the Bhagavad Gita in writing so that everyone for all time could hear this nectarine teaching that Krishna is giving to Arjuna. And every word of the Gita is as worshipable as God himself is worshipable. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. Because the word of God is non-different than God himself, just as the name of God is non-different than God himself. This is the absolute nature of the absolute truth. When Krishna speaks the Gita, he expands or incarnates himself through sound vibration. But it is very important to understand that Krishna only manifests himself through the sound of his name or through the sound of his immortal words, such as the Gita, when they are spoken by one who has the proper faith and devotion to him. Krishna tells Arjuna, Bhakto Shime Shaka Cheti Rahasyam Yetadutamam, that you can understand this teaching because you are my devotee. Because you accept me as the supreme, and you accept my words as supreme. One who hears the message of Gita in this spirit, and one who repeats the message of Krishna in this spirit, we can understand that Krishna will certainly manifest himself within that sound vibration. In the English language, Bhagavad Gita is the most popular book to have been translated from the East, without comparison. Of all the books, whether it be in Sanskrit, or Hindi, or Chinese, or Arabic, there is no book that has been translated more into the various languages in the world than the Bhagavad Gita. When Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, came to the West, there were already over 100 translations of Bhagavad Gita in English alone. And they had been within the European and American societies for many, many decades, sometimes for over 100 years. And yet, it was surprising to see that not a single person was living by the teachings of the Gita. Not a single person who had studied these various translations had become a devotee of Krishna or apply these teachings to their life. Although in so many of the greatest, biggest places of scholarship, the universities, there was courses and studies of the Gita, still, no one was able to understand what it meant. People would talk about it. People would meditate upon it. People would argue about it. But not a single person was willing to live by the teachings. Nor did a single person even understand who Krishna was. But when His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, came and repeated the Gita in the same spirit that Arjuna heard it, accepting Krishna as Bhagavan and living according to what Krishna has taught, His one translation not only sold tens of millions of copies, but millions of people began to change their entire lives to live by the teachings of the Gita. When Krishna in the 11th chapter of the Gita showed His Virat Rupa, His universal form, He showed that He is not just the Lord of the Kuru or Pandava dynasty. He's not just the Lord of the people who live in India. He is the Lord of not only all the people of this universe, but He is the Lord of everything that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna says, I am the source of all spiritual and all material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Everyone emanates from me. And the wise who know this perfectly, they engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Bhagavad Gita has universal application for all living beings, everywhere, at all times. And one who understands Gita in this spirit can actually teach Gita as it is. So it was a great wonder when people from the Western world came back from the American and European countries to India, living the lives of devotees completely dedicated and surrendered to Krishna. One very special exalted guest that is amongst us tonight is Srimati Malati Devi, who is humbly sitting in the back corner there. She is one of Srila Prabhupada's first and original disciples. In 1967, she first came upon His Divine Grace in San Francisco, California. And just by hearing His speaking of the Gita, and seeing how He was living it so perfectly in His life, she changed her whole life and gave her life to teaching the Gita to others. She and some other devotees went to London on the order of our Gurudev, and front page of some of the largest of the newspapers of London were saying, Hare Krishna shakes London. And the most famous people in all of England, who were known throughout the world, musicians, by their influence, they became devotees of Krishna and started singing songs about Krishna that were transforming people's lives throughout the world. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring these valuable devotees back to India. His most dear and most beloved devotees of the West, he wanted to bring them back to India. He considered this a very, very important part of his mission, because he felt that India is the most important place on the planet for spirituality. It is Bharatvarsha. It is Dharma Bhumi. India is the place where the greatest of the avatars appeared. The further west you go, the more materialistic and godless people become. But he found that the people of India were very progressively forgetting their own heritage and culture and exchanging it for the materialistic, atheistically inclined ways of the Western world. And he wanted to show the people of India that the teachings of the Gita were for everybody. And they were the authority of truth which had been revealed to all mankind. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that there's only one problem in the world, and that is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And there is only one solution to the problems of the world, and that is Krishna consciousness. And if we try to substitute Krishna consciousness with any other so-called solution, it will only perpetuate and complicate the problems of human society. So Bhagavad Gita is that gift of God which could solve all the problems of life individually, socially, politically, on every level, if we simply accept it as it is. Because Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to live according to our true nature. Our nature is that we are part of God. We are meant to live for the pleasure of God. There is so much unrest and conflict in this world. But Krishna in one sloka gives the formula by which there can be peace. One sloka of the Gita, if simply followed, will give peace individually, socially, within every family, nationally and internationally, if it is simply understood and followed. But we see so much violence, so much unrest amongst people, amongst nations, and there are so many solutions that they are trying to make. But none of the solutions have been successful in the history of mankind. And if you look at society today, you will see so much terrorism, so many wars, and the United Nations and the League of Nations and all of these various political groups, they simply cannot find a solution. But the solution is right there. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richchati. The problem is we are all fighting over stolen property. We must admit and accept that everything is the property of God. And everything is meant to be utilized for the pleasure of God, in the service of God, according to the will of God. With faith and trust that Krishna or God is our real well-wishing friend. These three principles will undoubtedly bring about real peace if accepted within society, within our lives. And if we analyze very systematically, we find that it is a fact that the root cause of all unrest, all agitation, and all conflict is that we are trying to claim God's property to be our own. We say, this is my body. But actually, is it your body? This body is the property of God. You did not create it. Your parents, they may have been instrumental in creating it. But actually, they did not, through their intelligence, construct the various limbs, the various cells, the various organs, what to speak of the heart, of the brain, of your body. A man and a woman come together and perform a particular act, and they are just instruments by which nature creates the human body, the human mind, in fact, all species of life. Sarva yoni shukondiya murtiya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahajonir aham bija pratavi. Krishna says, of all species, I am the seed-giving father. And nature is the mother. So therefore, everything and everyone's bodies is being created by nature. And Krishna explains in Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara. This material nature is working under my direction. It is mine. So these bodies that we call our own are not our own. They belong to God. Just like, for instance, you may rent an automobile, or you may lease an apartment, a flat, or a house, but you have to recognize who the proprietor is. Similarly, this body is the property of God, and the soul is temporarily residing within it for a certain duration of time. And when it is the desire of God, you are evicted. You have to leave. If this body was yours, it would be under your control. But it is not under your control. There are certain limitations of your control. But nobody wants to grow old. Children, they want to grow old fast. Children like to grow up fast, but they cannot. They have to grow up according to nature's arrangement. If you remember when you were a little boy, you were thinking, when I grow up, I will do this. But you have to wait so many long years till you grow up. And then when you grow up, then you wish you could become young again. But you cannot become young again. In fact, you keep getting older. You want to get younger, but you keep getting older. Why? Because your body is the property of material nature. It is not your own. And ultimately, death will come. When the owner of your body says, okay, now is the time, get out. And if you say, no, this is mine, if it actually was yours, there would be no power on earth that could kick you away. But you have no power to stay in this body. This is evidence that the body is the property of another. So to recognize that, what to speak of all of creation around us? People are very greedy for money. Money is fortune. And Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. And Lakshmi is the property of Narayan. She is not the property of anyone else. Wherever there is good fortune, whether it be money, whether it be high education, whether it be gold or silver, or property, it is all fortune. It is all Lakshmi's energy. And we see what happens when someone tries to steal Lakshmi from Narayan. Ravana was such a person, but he was not successful. Nor will anyone, or has anyone been successful in this pursuit. So when we accept that everything is the property of God, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, all planets and everything within every planet is the property of God. Therefore, everything should be utilized according to the will of God. Then there is no longer envy. Then there is no longer any purpose or reason for conflict. There will be harmony. And there is no other means of real harmony except accepting this principle. And this is called bhakti. This is called devotion. Simply recognizing that everything is Krishna's and everything is meant ultimately for Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, Yat karoshi rasnasi yat duhoshi dadasi yat yatapasya sikonte yatat kurusha madharapanam. That whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, should be done as an offering to me. It is simple. Arjuna was a family man. He had several wives. He had many children. Arjuna was a kshatriya. He was a military man with a very, very highly professional occupation. Krishna taught the world through Arjuna how, according to the same very status that we have in life and society now, by performing our duties in a spirit of devotion, in a spirit of sacrifice to the will of God, we can be peaceful and we can create real harmony within the world, and in the process we can achieve the true perfection of life. It is very simple. If we have the proper association with people who are living according to these teachings. Association can make something possible or impossible. When we associate with people who are genuinely and sincerely endeavoring to apply the Gita to our life, we come into their satsang, then living the Gita becomes natural. But when we intimately associate with people who are too much materialistically inclined, ignoring, neglecting the true teachings of the Gita, their influence upon our minds makes the Gita impossible to understand. What to speak of to live by. So in this great land of Kurukshetra, where the Gita first appeared for the deliverance of the whole world, we are praying, we are hoping that that we can be inspired, we can be encouraged to dedicate more and more of our life, of our energy, to the highest goal and highest purpose of the teachings of the Gita. Rajavidya Rajaguyam, it is the greatest of all education. And the residents of Kurukshetra have the most precious and wonderful opportunity in this holy land to take these teachings as their very life, as their very soul. And as the teachings of the Gita are giving light to the whole world, the residents of Kurukshetra, we are hoping and praying that by their example, can also give light to the whole world. And we have all come to Kurukshetra for this purpose, to be energized by this holy place and to also help the world understand the importance of Kurukshetra, the importance of Gita, and the importance of living in the real spirit of the Gita. It is the greatest gift that Krishna has given to you. It is the greatest gift that you can give to your children and to all generations in the future. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Krishna explains that so many different people have different conceptions of the soul. Because, as the Upanishad explains, the soul is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a single hair. So it is tangible, but not to our imperfect senses. But we can understand the soul by the symptoms which emanates from it. The soul is the source of life. Matter is essentially dead. This body, at the time of death, has no life. What is the difference between the living body and the dead body? It is consciousness. The consciousness is the symptom of the presence of the soul. We can see the soul through the symptom of consciousness. Wherever we see life, we are perceiving the presence of the soul. The power to see, the power to hear, the power to feel, to taste, to think, to love. It is all being done by the soul. Dead matter cannot feel or love or think or taste or touch or see. It is the soul that is seeing through your eyes. It is the soul at this very moment that is hearing through your ears, that is feeling through your flesh, that is tasting through your tongue, that is loving through your heart, that is thinking, feeling, and willing through your mind. That is the presence of the soul. Science has gone so deeply into physics, biology, breaking down into subtler and subtler and subtler understandings, gross matter. And through the sciences of psychology, they go into subtler and subtler forms of understanding the nature of the mind. But one thing that science has never, material science, has never been able to grasp and understand is the element of consciousness. Where is intuition coming from? How is it being manifested? Through our gross or subtle senses, we cannot perceive, but we know that consciousness is there, that intuition is there. So to understand these things, to understand the very nature of the soul, we have to refer to the perfect science of perfect theism, which is being presented by the perfect spiritual scientist, Krishna himself, through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We can perceive the symptom of the consciousness of the soul. but to actually understand its source and its very nature. It is beyond our speculation. We have to accept the authority of the Creator, of the source of all consciousness, and that is Krishna. Without accepting Bhagavad Gita as it is, we cannot truly understand the nature of the soul. We can understand the presence of the soul through the symptom of consciousness. But the realization of the soul is being revealed through the Gita. It is a science. Unless you understand through the proper science books and through the proper science teachers, you simply cannot understand any science. Bhagavad Gita teaches the most profound and important, essential science in all of creation, the science of the soul and its relationship with the Supreme Soul, or God. These are the five essential teachings of the Gita. What is Paramatma, or God? What is the Jivatma, or the individual soul? What is Prakriti, or material nature? What is karma? What is the law of cause and effect, action and reaction within material creation? And what is kala, or eternal time? And what makes these five subjects so important to our own lives is to understand how they all relate to the consciousness within ourselves, or the soul. What is our relationship with God, the Paramatma? What is our own Atma or consciousness relationship with Prakriti or material nature? How it is being influenced by karma, or the laws of action and reaction, and how it is being influenced, and what is its temporary and eternal relationship with time. So everything about the Bhagavad Gita is to understand the interrelationships between the soul and the phenomena around us and within us. And if we carefully, with an open and attentive heart and mind, study the teachings of Gita, we can understand everything necessary to be known about the very nature of our soul. So many things are intangible to us, but we can understand by hearing from authority. Understanding outer space is intangible to us. Understanding the ocean is intangible to us. Understanding history. History is a very intangible thing. How do we know who is this Mahatma Gandhi? How do we know who is Alexander the Great? Who is Napoleon? It is intangible to our senses. But we accept the authority of books. We accept the authority of proper teachers. And we can understand in truth. But the science of the soul is the most vital and important subject to be learned in life. And the great tragedy is in our educational systems today throughout the entire world, even in this great land of India. The most important of all subjects is being very, very deliberately neglected. And our children are being taught everything except the goal of life. Our children are being taught so many subjects, but not how to be truly happy, or what their purpose of existence is, or even who they are. They will not learn in the schools. The only way they will learn is if we teach them. And the only way we can teach them is if we know. So it is our first and primary responsibility to understand the soul, to understand God, and to give this knowledge to those who look up to us. That is real love.
See the real Atma or Super Atma, whatever you call it, at any stage later on. By our this physical eyes, can we really see Paramatma, real Atma, Super Atma, what we call it later on?
No. Answers this question. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintyu ganasu rupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. When the eyes are anointed with the salve of love, then we can see the soul and we can see God, Sham Sundara. Material eyes cannot see what is spiritual. But when the eyes are spiritualized through the process of bhakti or devotion, then they can see spiritual substance. Paramatma is Satchit Ananda, Divyam, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Paramatma is never material. Paramatma is of spiritual, transcendental substance, which means eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Material has no access to the spiritual. But bhakti, or devotion, is the bridge which brings together the material realm and the spiritual realm. In the sense that now our eyes are material, but through the process of devotion or bhakti, the eyes become spiritualized. They become purified of ahankar, false ego, and all the material desires that are born of ahankar or false ego. When that purification takes place, then with these very eyes, we can see God. You see, it is not the eyes that see. It is the soul that is seeing through the eyes. When the soul is free of ahankar and endowed with pure devotion, that pure soul, through these very eyes, can see God. But as long as the soul is covered by ahankar, all we can see through these eyes is material phenomena. Of reviving the original spiritual quality of our soul and spiritualizing all of our senses to have perception of our eternal relationship with the Supreme is the chanting of God's holy name. Of the kirtan of the holy name is the prescribed medicine in this age of Kali Yuga to bring us back to our original natural spiritual state of health. The process given by the Lord Himself to revive our original consciousness or Krishna consciousness. All of the knowledge of Gita and all the great scriptures of the world are automatically realized